on the way here this morning from St. Joseph, and I'm driving and seeing the gray skies and some of the mist along the way, I was reminded when I pastored a church in Indianapolis, our choir director would often say on days like today, this is the kind of day we have to make our own sunshine. But as I'm here today,
you have packed.
What more sunshine could you want? As we do come together this morning, I bring my greetings to you as your regional minister for the region of Mid-America, for all of the churches which stretch across our region from here in the Northwest all the way down into the Boot Heel. And having once lived down in that area, I know it's a long way down into the Boot Heel. But it is great that we can come together as brothers and sisters, and though others from around our region may not be able to be here today, we are one in spirit, and we are here to celebrate with you, and we are here to celebrate with Pat. I invite you to join me in prayer. Wonderful and gracious God, God of the universe, God of all people, as we come into this place, into this time of sanctuary and worship, hear our prayers that the scripture we hear may enter our hearts anew and fresh, and that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds together be acceptable in your sight. Our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Here are the words from the Gospel according to Matthew, a story perhaps familiar to many of you of fishermen. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road of the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As they went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is not my first time to have a great opportunity to preach here at Carrollton. And if I remember the last time, my mouth was left big enough that you could hear me without a microphone as I came through. So I'm trusting it's the same again today. There is a story I'm told that God and the devil were taking a walk together one day. And God looked down and
there was this thing that was kind of there, and the devil said to God, "Well, what is that?" And God said, "It is the truth." And the devil said, "The truth? Well, give it to me and I will organize it." Sometimes that may be feeling how we are about organization and organizing things. We are here today, settled and organized. We are part of an organized church and organized disciple denomination and organized region. I stand before you as part of the organization of Mid-America as a regional minister. You come today as an organized congregation. In the process that Pat so well shared with the youth this morning about installation, a time for installation. Now, Jesus was not calling these fishermen to come with him. He wasn't organizing the church per se, but we certainly have taken on organization.
But as we come into this time of 21st century, there's a lot to be said about this organization and reorganization and what organization looks like. It is the 21st century. And some of you may remember the last time I was here, I shared with you, it's no longer 1958, and we're not going back there. Organization can come in many different ways. As Jesus came along to share and to be with people, he was beginning a ministry. And there he found two fishermen, two brothers, and called them away from their nets. And walking on a little farther, he found two more brothers and called them away from their nets. And immediately, Matthew tells us, they came. And then they went out. They went out. And they began to talk in the synagogues. They began to preach. They began a whole new way of gathering people together. But Jesus was not doing this alone. He was not going out by himself. He was gathering together his disciples. He was gathering together with him other people to be a part of this ministry, knowing that together we work, together we share, together we build, together, yes, perhaps we even organize and institutionalize. So we come today to this time of installation. We celebrate Pat and the many ministries that she has done in her lifetime. I was going to ask you to remind me, tomorrow is 25. Tomorrow she celebrates 25 years of ordained ministry. So this is kind of a double celebration as we gather today. But nowhere, as Pat has ministered, has she ministered by herself, in her own name. Nowhere has she shared, "Look at me and look what I can do for you." She is, as with Jesus, a leader. One who invites you into the ministry. One who invites you to come along on a journey. One to be shared with one another. One not to be done by her alone, but collectively, as Jesus was calling the fishermen from the shore, "Come, follow me. We've got great things to do.
is no one right way. In ministry, we use the term called, not hired. Jesus did not go out and hire workers to work with him, but he called them to share in the ministry with him. Now, it is true that we are organized. It is true there are paychecks involved and contracts that are involved. But we still understand calling. And you have called Pat to be with you as your subtle pastor. You have called her to come to lead you, to support you, to be your shepherd. And yes, to invite you into the call, to be part of the hands and the legs and the eyes and the speaking voices of ministry. It is a team effort. It is something we do together, not as one person. Jesus called four brothers. Come, join in this ministry. I will make you fishers of people, he said. Now here in the Midwest, we don't really have the understanding of fishers as Jesus was doing. Getting over Poland still. But if you go along the sea or the ocean in large trawlers that go out, huge nets put down into the ocean and the sea and drawn back up, it's not one kind of fish that comes up in that net. It's not one species of fish. It's many different kinds of fish. Some small, some large, some maybe sea bass, something else. All kinds of varieties are brought up. As Jesus and his apostles went through Galilee, Jesus made it abundantly clear that as they cast their nets among the people, there was not one certain kind of people that Jesus was looking for, but looking for everyone. His was a ministry that was to go beyond anything ever seen before, with possibilities of what could be totally different than had ever been seen before. Preparing for the kingdom of God. This is the opportunity we have as well. As Pat begins a new ministry with you today, as you begin to look at your community, have an opportunity to cast our nets and cast them wide. And not look for one kind of person that looks and thinks exactly like I do. But the opportunity to see beyond what we maybe have seen before. Particularly those in our community who may be hurting. To those in our community who may be minorities. To those in our community who may have needs that we have simply been blind to, but if we go out to bring them in our nets, we will have the opportunity to share and to be together and to find new ways of being involved in organizing and being together in ministry. Jesus was inviting the fishermen into a kingdom. Not a Jewish kingdom, not a Christian kingdom,
but a kingdom for everyone, a kingdom for all God's people, to open eyes and see differently, to understand that we have built walls around us, and that walls are the opposite of what Jesus is talking about. To bring down walls and open up for refugees, for people we don't know, for everyone. This is the opportunity when we bring in our nets and cast them wide and cast them open. Seeing the kingdom anew and fresh with possibilities. Looking at our neighbors and our brothers and sisters and not seeing what is different. Not seeing the deformity. Not seeing what may scare us because we do not know them, because they do not speak the same language as we do, or because they may wear a haji. But the opportunity to look for the better nature of who we are in God and what God has called us to be. One of the joys I have as a regional minister is Sunday morning. I get to go to a different church almost every Sunday morning. I get to experience worship in different ways almost every Sunday morning. And it is so wonderful to see the variety of ways men and women and children come together to worship and the opportunities that are out there. If we share with one another, if we communicate with one another, and find out there is no one right way of worshiping. And I hear such wonderful stories as I go across the region. One church I visited on a Sunday morning, they were in the process of doing their stewardship campaign. Now, I do a stewardship campaign right now, but a stewardship is not something you do one time a year. It's something for the whole year, but that's another story. But on this particular day, one of the lay people from the congregation gave testimony, sharing why he and his wife chose that particular congregation when they moved to that community some 30 or 40 years before. Sharing the joys that they have had in that particular congregation. And as he began to close, he said this. I was at work one day, and one of my coworkers asked me, "What church do you go to?" And he told him. And his co-worker went, "Oh." And the man said, "What do you mean, oh?" He said, "Well, that's the church that lets just anybody come in." His response was, "I thought that's what we were supposed to be doing. Letting anybody and everybody in, but not only letting them in, be the man to bring them in." Another church that I visited one Sunday is one of our new church starts. It's called Table of Grace. It's in Jefferson City. Table of Grace is probably different from any church you've ever visited in your life. It's a small congregation. Most of it is made up of people who come from institutions and are institutionalized in Jefferson City or live on the streets in Jefferson City. Or people who have found themselves in growing up to be rejected by the church because of who they are. Their orientation or the way they thought didn't work in with their organized church. But here they were, a There were children that were running back and forth. There were children that were playing over in a corner. There were children that were sitting in their seats and listening. But the children were part of the worship, not sent out somewhere else.
And when it came time to come together around the table, the children were invited. The children came forward to hold the bread and to hold the cup. It reminded me of the passage, "Let the little children come to me."
And then there was a potluck. You're going to have one today.
There was a potluck.
And again, not quite like most potlucks that you may have seen, but potlucks of whatever people could possibly bring together from their homes. A bag of potato chips, some vegetables, somebody stopped at a KFC. All sitting together, enjoying a meal that some won't see again until another Saturday. How we are in church can be just as different. I'm sure that you know, Nadia Leonard Bowles.
Yes.
I knew you would. She's a Lutheran pastor. She had a very hard life and upbringing, lots of drugs.
She was rejected in many, many different ways. Some refer to her as the acting pastor. She's a Lutheran pastor.
Now, because we have church differently, and perhaps organized differently, doesn't necessarily mean it has to be disorganized. Nadia serves a congregation in Denver, Colorado. Again, much as the one in Jefferson City, is a lot of the people that come in and off the streets, a lot of people who have had drug backgrounds. But she's very much a Lutheran. And she insists on the Lutheran liturgy. And she insists on church history. And she insists on church understanding. But it doesn't have to be done in one simple way. Different people are involved. The prayers may be a little bit different. The songs may be a little bit different. I saw the same thing in Chicago at Catholic Mass. You can tell it was Catholic. You can tell it was the Mass. But boy, was it different than any other Mass I've ever been to. We can have our traditions. We can know who we are. But the point of all of those is that we understand the purpose of our worship. We are coming to give thanks to God. And we are coming as God's people, opening our ears and our hearts to hear God new and to hear God afresh and to be authentic about it. To be authentic about our Christian faith. To be authentic about understanding the kingdom of God. And that's what we're called to do. To proclaim the good news and the kingdom of God, not fears, not distrust, not anger, but hope, love, generosity. The kingdom of God may be found in churches in a variety of other ways. In North Carolina, disciple pastor by the name of William Barber has begun Moral Mondays on the state capitol, steps of the state capitol, pointing out injustices and saying that God is calling us to a better way.
what church is.
But it's called us to think differently. It's called us to understand what Jesus was beginning. Finding fishermen who throw out nets to cast wide.
And who had a ministry throughout all of Galilee for anyone, and everyone
who would bother to come. And calling those who wouldn't bother to come.
Now some of you may know the answer to the story of Job, so to speak. What kind of car did Jesus drive? Anyone? Yeah.
Anybody know how we know it was a Toyota?
Scripture says that Jesus and his apostles were all together in one accord. But the reality is, Jesus and his disciples were rarely together in one accord.
The scriptures of the New Testament, we know the great arguments that Peter and Paul and Peter and Paul had among themselves.
But that is part of who we are. We are different. We do have different ideas. We do have different opinions. But we are called
to be together. It's part of calling a pastor and not hiring a pastor. When we hire a pastor, that's someone who works with us. When we call a pastor, we call someone to lead us,
that sometimes may lead us in places that are going to be uncomfortable, but we understand that we are all in this together.
Sharing and working together, we're not always going to agree. We're not always going to come to the same understanding. But we are called to celebrate.
We are called to a way of understanding and to set our mind upon the kingdom of God.
And this is what I'd like to close us with today. About keeping our mind not on worldly things, not on the world itself and the politics of the world, not on church constitutions and organizations, but on the better things. And Paul writes, in Philippians, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and miss, who are my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord always. And again, I say, be glad. And whatever is just, whatever is good, these things keep first in mind.